Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Judges, chapter 16, beginning with verse 23, if you'd like to join in a pew Bible or your own Bible. Judges 16, beginning with verse 23. Before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we pray this morning that as we read your word, you would shine your light upon us, that you would shine your light within us, that you would shine into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls. For it is only in your light that we see, truly see. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and rejoice. And they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has killed many of us." And when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call Samson, that he may entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. And his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had judged Israel 20 years. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Acts chapter 12. The Acts of the Apostles chapter 12. As we continue our study of this book, we'll be reading the whole chapter this morning, chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed through the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind. but she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, God was at work. We've seen it as we've studied the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit was on the move. The gospel was going forth in power. Christians were carrying out the mission given to them by Jesus to be witnesses, to point to him, to proclaim his name and salvation, his death and resurrection. And people were coming to faith, believing in the Son of God, turning from their sin to the one who overcomes sin, receiving life from the one who conquered death, being transformed by the Spirit of God, including Gentiles, including non-Jews. This had been a seismic shift in the life of God's people, that the Holy Spirit was transforming non-Jews, that Gentiles could follow Jesus without first becoming Jews. So the church was growing. The church was growing in number. The church was growing in area. The church was growing in range. The church was growing in diversity. The church was growing in spirit. God was at work. God was blessing. And then it happened. Actually, he happened. And the he who happened was Herod. King Herod. King Herod Agrippa the first. This King Herod was the grandson of King Herod who reigned when Jesus was born. This King Herod was the nephew of Herod Antipas who tried Jesus. This King Herod, Herod Agrippa the first, was educated in Rome. He had the favor of the Roman emperor, and the Roman emperor had appointed him to be king over Judea in the year 37. He was popular with the Jews. He was friends with the Jewish religious leaders, and he sought to stay in their favor. His desire, above all, was to keep peace in his land, even if it meant suppressing minorities that might disrupt that peace. Therefore, King Herod was hostile against the church. He opposed the church. He oppressed the church. Listen to verse 1 again. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. The king seized Christians, arrested Christians, intended harm for Christians, including James and Peter, two apostles, two leaders of the early church, two pillars of the early church. James and Peter were two of the very first disciples of Jesus, two of the very first followers of Jesus. They were called from their boats, they were called from their nets as fishermen to follow Jesus. And they had been with Jesus throughout his entire ministry. They had been with Jesus when he rose from the dead. They had been with Jesus when he ascended into heaven. They watched him ascend into heaven. And they were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost. Well, Herod laid violent hands on them. He actually had James killed by the sword, probably beheaded. James is the second known martyr of the church, the second known Christian killed for his faith. And Herod, upon seeing that this pleased the Jews, that the death of James pleased the Jews, he laid violent hands on Peter. He arrested Peter. He placed Peter in prison, and he surrounded Peter by four squads of soldiers, 16 soldiers around Peter, guarding him like a violent criminal, guarding him like a menace to society. And he planned to bring Peter out before the Jews, after Passover, after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When Jerusalem was full of pilgrims, Herod planned to bring Peter out, probably to put him to death, a public death, an example and a warning to all other Christians. Now, just for a minute, put yourself in the place of Christians in our passage. Put yourself in the place of Christians in Jerusalem or Christians around Jerusalem. And two of the apostles have been arrested. James was beheaded. Peter is in prison. Who was next? What was next? Would you be next? Well, God had been blessing. The Holy Spirit was on the move. The church was growing. Even Gentiles were coming to the faith. And now this. Now this. Now, it is often when we are at a height. It is often when we are on the mountaintop. It is often when things are going well in our life, when you can see God's hand blessing your life, that the evil one will rage. That the adversary will roar, that Satan will strike. And often it's in an area that you did not expect. Often it's in an area like a strength in your life, a rock in your life, an anchor in your life. And it doesn't have to be as dramatic as lay violent hands on. It can be that. But it also may be more subtle. It may happen over time, like a growing rift or opening an old wound in your marriage, in a friendship, in the relationship with your children or relationship with your parents. It could also be an attack on your health or an attack on your finances or an attack on your reputation. Or an attack at your work, creating fear, creating worry, creating anxiety in your life, sowing seeds of doubt and discord, creating chaos and harm so that you will take your eyes off Jesus, so that you will stumble in following the Good Shepherd, so that you might stray, so that you might try another path, so that you might try another way, or just simply quit. Become paralyzed, despair. Well, the church, in our passage, the church was attacked at its strength. The church was attacked at its pillars, its leaders, the apostles, James, Peter. But even in the midst of this attack, even in the midst of this opposition, this persecution, this tragedy, God's people did not despair. God's people did not become paralyzed. They did not take their eyes off the Good Shepherd. And this is what they did. Listen to the end of verse 5 again. This is the end of verse 5. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. They prayed. They prayed. God's people prayed. If you find yourself stricken, pray. When an area of your life seems to just fall apart, pray. When tragedy strikes, pray. when one of the rocks of your life is crushed. Pray. When the enemy roars, pray. And don't pray alone. You are not alone. Pray with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And together pray to the one who can move mountains. He created the mountains. Pray to the one in whose hands is the march of time. He created time. Pray to the one who is king over all the earth, Lord over all creation. Pray to the Father. Pray to your Father in heaven, whose love for you is so great, whose love for you is so vast that he sent his Son to die for you so that you might be free. And pray expecting your Father to answer. Pray knowing that your Father will answer. Well, in our passage, God's people were praying for Peter. They were lifting up Peter. And on the night before Peter was to be brought out, on the night before Peter was to be brought out and killed, he was in prison, he was in chains between two guards, and Peter was sleeping. Peter was resting. Now put yourself in Peter's place for just a moment. You're behind bars. You are in chains. Your close friend was killed just a few days before. You know that the next day you're probably going to die. Could you sleep? Could you rest? Well, Peter was sleeping. Peter was resting, chained between two guards, knowing that he's probably going to die the next day. He could sleep. How could he sleep? Because Peter knew who he belonged to. Peter knew that he belonged to Jesus Christ. Peter knew that if he were to die that very night or the next day, Peter knew if his heart stopped beating that night or if his head was cut off the next day, he knew that he would be with Jesus Christ. He knew that. He knew that he would be with his Lord, the one who saved him. If you belong to Jesus Christ, this is you as well. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what you have to face tomorrow, you are his. You're his. You are promised to be with him for all eternity. You're promised to be with him forever. So don't fear. Sleep. And don't fear. Rest. Peter slept. And while Peter slept, we're told that an angel appeared, a messenger of the Lord appeared, light flooded his dark cell. But Peter was resting so well, he didn't stir when the light flooded his dark cell. The angel actually had to shake Peter, strike Peter, wake up Peter. And the angel spoke these words to him. This is in verse 7. Listen to verse 7 again. The angel says, "Get up quickly." And then the chains fell off. The chains fell off. This is actually a humorous scene. We have a couple of humorous episodes in this passage. Peter rises up. He listens to the angel. His chains are gone. The soldiers are asleep. And all he can do is stand there. And like a child, the angel has to instruct him in every step. I mean, if you look back at what the angel says, "Okay, now, Peter, get dressed. Okay, Peter, put on your sandals. Put on your coat, it's chilly outside, and then follow me, follow me, follow me." And so Peter walks out of his cell, through the prison, past the guards, out of the iron gate that opens by itself into the city. He's free. Now this Peter's freedom is also a picture of salvation. And here's how. Because we too are imprisoned. We too are in chains. We too are bound, but we're not bound to two soldiers. We're bound to two powers. We are bound to sin and death. But God has come in Jesus Christ. God has come and he has flooded our prison cell with light. He has come to rescue us. His death and resurrection removes our chains and breaks our bonds. And following him past the iron gate of our prison, we are free. rescued. Well, Peter thought he was dreaming. Peter thought he was seeing a vision until the angel disappeared and he found himself standing alone in the cool night air on the streets of Jerusalem, no longer in prison. And then he realized what happened. God had freed him. God had freed him. And immediately he heads to Mary's home. And we are told that Mary was the mother of John, also called Mark. John Mark. This John Mark is the author of the Gospel of Mark, and we'll talk more about John Mark next week in our passage. Well, Peter went to Mary's house, and this must have been a known gathering place for Christians because that is where they were gathered. They were gathered there that night, and they were praying for Peter. They were praying for rescue for Peter. They were praying for peace for Peter, and Peter knocks on the door. They're in there praying, Lord, save Peter. Lord, rescue Peter. Now, nobody went to the door except the servant girl, Rhoda, we're told her name was. And she went to the door, and she probably went to the door in fear. Why fear? Because it's the middle of the night, because Herod was on the move against Christians. Who could be at the door? Well, when she recognized Peter's voice, she heard Peter's voice, she recognized the very one that they were praying for, she was so excited, she was so overjoyed, she ran off without opening the door. And she ran to tell everybody else, everybody who was praying, hey, Peter is at the door. And this is their response. This is what they say to Rhoda. They say, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. Peter is locked up. Peter is in chains. Peter is surrounded by guards. That is why we're praying. There's no way that Peter could be at the door. It's got to be an angel. We've got to keep praying that God will rescue Peter. So finally they went to the door. Finally they listened to Rhoda. And they were amazed and overjoyed. So again, pray. In the midst of tragedy, pray. When you are stricken, pray. When an area of your life seems to fall apart, pray. But here's the other thing. Don't miss when God answers your prayer. Don't miss it. Look. Open your eyes and look. Listen for the knock at the door. He might answer in ways that you do not expect. He might answer in ways that you could never imagine. But don't miss it. Well, Peter was there. Peter was rescued. Peter was free. Their prayers were answered. And then Peter told them all that had happened. He told them how he was rescued. He told them about the angel. And he told them to tell everybody else. And then Peter left. He left Jerusalem. Fled Jerusalem. And we're not told where, and we're not told what he did, but you can be sure wherever Peter was, he was preaching the gospel, he was teaching the gospel, he was proclaiming Jesus Christ. Now, at the end of the chapter, the narrative turns to focus on Herod. Now, you can imagine Herod's state of being when he found out that Peter had escaped. On the very day that he was going to put Peter to death, on the very day that he was going to have triumph over one of the pillars of the church. So first, he searches all over for Peter. And then he orders all of the guards who are watching Peter to be put to death. And then finally, we're told he travels to the coast. Here, he met with leaders of Tyre and Sidon, the people of Tyre and Sidon. These are the largest cities in Phoenicia. And they approached Herod. They appealed to Herod. They wanted peace with Herod because Herod was angry with them. Herod was angry with these cities, and they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because their cities depended on food from Herod's kingdom. They wanted to be in his favor again. They didn't want an embargo. They didn't want a trade war. So on an appointed day, Herod appeared to the people of these two cities. He was arrayed in his royal robes. He was seated on his throne. He spoke to them, and the people praised him. They flattered him. They were saying that they had just heard the voice of a God and not a man. And listen again to verse 23. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. God's judgment fell upon this king. And just like our reading from the book of Judges, God's judgment fell upon the Philistine leaders. God's judgment fell upon the enemies of God's people, and that judgment came through Samson. Well, Luke gives this striking contrast in verse 24. Listen again to verse 24. But the word of God increased and multiplied. What a miraculous reversal. What a complete turnaround. Herod, at the beginning of the chapter, Herod was opposing the church. Herod was oppressing the church. Herod was persecuting the church, laying violent hands on Christians. At the beginning of the chapter, James is dead. Peter is in prison. God's people are in fear. But by the end of the chapter, Peter's free. Herod is dead. And the word of God was increasing and multiplying. Look, God's in control. God's in control. Those in power may oppress and persecute God's people for a time, but they will not last. The evil one may roar, tragedy may strike you, an area of your life may fall apart, but it's not going to last forever. God is in control, and you belong to him. And nothing, the Apostle Paul says, nothing can separate you from his love in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do bless you and thank you. We thank you that you are our sovereign Lord, that you are king over all creation, that you are in charge. That evil powers may roar and oppress, that tragedy may strike, that places in our life may fall apart, but we thank you that nothing can separate us from your love, that nothing can separate us from you, that in Jesus Christ we are yours. Father, in that firm and certain knowledge, we pray that you would give us rest, that you would give us peace, that we would not fear. That you would help us to keep our eyes upon your Son, Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, let's stand and listen.